It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle is here, Ross Tucker is here. This is, somebody called us the A-team earlier this week, Greg.
It's an A-plus team.
A-plus. Right. We got rid of Todd Sadowski, so we got an immediate upgrade with Ross. So we're continuing on with this crew. We did Ross's position group rankings for Penn State, number 12 through 10 in the previous segment. 12 was tight ends, 11 was specialists, which Ross was just trying to get out of the way. 10 was linebackers.
How much do you have to say? They don't have a kicker that we know can make kicks. Back to you, Dustin.
And that's pretty much what you did say. But it was so much more elegant than that. That's where we went wrong. So 10 was linebackers. We're going to get into number 9 here, which are the safeties for Penn State. And really, you know, you go down the middle of the defense, you can pick and choose where Penn State has question marks and how you prioritize those question marks. You lose Marcus Allen, you lose Troy Apke, you're replacing those two guys. You're replacing a lot of production on the Penn State defense. The safety spots, two new starters. It looks like, I guess, if they were fielding a starting lineup today, Nick Scott and Garrett Taylor. Did Garrett Taylor being in that group surprise you a little bit?
Without question. He would have been like last for me behind guys like Aaron Monroe, Lamont Wade. It's really interesting. And the fact that Nick Scott was named the captain, I thought was telling. Now, I don't know how much of that's because of what he does on special teams, but he's not even a senior, right? Redshirt junior? Is this Nick's last year?
He's a redshirt senior, is he not?
Yeah.
This is his last year?
Yep.
Okay, he's a redshirt senior. At any rate, there's other guys they could have picked to be a captain on. I'm presuming he's the defensive captain, Greg?
Yes, that would be my understanding, yeah.
Blake Gilligan's the special teams captain.
Yep.
Blake Gilligan could be the solo captain of the team, if you ask me. But just send Blake Gilligan and Trace McSorley out there. Those guys are unbelievable. But, yeah, that is a very good sign for Nick Scott. That he'll be one of those safeties. But I don't know, just based on what I've seen, I really thought it might be Lamont Wade and Aaron Monroe. So I guess maybe this position group has more depth than we realized, or maybe I'm not as good of an evaluator as I thought. It's kind of curious to me that they would switch Lamont Wade to safety to not have him start when he was basically the nickel corner last year. It says a lot about how they feel about Castro Fields. Number 21, my man Amani Arororororororororie.
You were a couple syllables short there.
I know. And then obviously John Reed coming back. I guess they felt like there was a better chance to get on the field for Lamont Wade at safety. And maybe that still happens, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks of spring ball is not the same as camp for a guy that's just switching positions like that.
Well, Garrett Taylor is case in point about how you can't just assume a guy is switching from quarterback to safety. He's going to be an impact player right away. Taylor took a while to the point where he was basically forgotten about. And, you know, it kind of – the Danny Dalton situation reminds me – just because we haven't heard of them doesn't mean they're doing really good stuff behind the scenes. We just haven't seen them. So Lamont Wade just needs a little bit more time. I feel like – you'll get four guys on the field, four safeties on the field. It could be Aaron Monroe and Lamont Wade behind these two guys. I also feel like Lamont Wade can be used as a little bit more of a chess piece when it comes to covering the slot and things like that. Maybe he ends up having the best pure coverage skills of this group, and you can use that. They're going to find a way to get him on the field, whether that's a starter or not.
You would think you would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question I have is the thing that people were excited most about was Penn State hasn't had much in the way of interception production, especially from its safeties the last few years. And the move of Lamont Wade to safety seemed to signal the opportunity for just that. So does Garrett Taylor and Nick Scott have that same ball-hawking ability? I don't know. I think Nick Scott's probably very Marcus Allen-like, and he plays a lot in the box and plays more forward as opposed to backwards. So that leaves Taylor to do that kind of stuff. And we just haven't seen him for a long time to know what kind of guy he's turned into as a development, because he's mostly just been on the sidelines.
He had good coverage skills at corner.
Yeah.
He's got good size. I think, I mean, the fact that he's there is promising. What have you heard, Greg, about Aaron Monroe?
It's the same old with him. Consistency is the biggest problem, Ross. He just, there's times he doesn't get on the field, he's hurt, or he falls far behind guys. It's almost like, remember last year James was saying about how Michael Bennett was rounding in the form because he was hurt for a while, and that sort of let him further down the depth chart. I think it's the same thing with Aaron Monroe. He's just further down the depth chart and hurt more often. So I don't know if he's ever going to be able to put it all together.
And if the coaches can't trust you to do the right thing and to stay healthy, that's kind of a that's kind of a double whammy right there, because they just don't, they want guys that they can rely on in those positions. Usually that's the case, by the way, when there's a guy that we all know has talent and is, has, we've seen some flashes, it's usually they just can't stay healthy and or they mess up mentally, and coaches just aren't going to deal with that.
Right. I mean, trust in every sense of the word is there, too. And I think with Franklin, we talked about with the tight ends and the running backs, trust was a factor at those spots, too. I look at the safeties as kind of like a shortstop in baseball. You have your guys who will make the routine play 100% of the time, and there's value in that. That is, to me, what Nick Scott is the guy that you hope you can trust 100% of the time to just be in the right spot. Maybe not do the spectacular thing, but to do the right thing over and over again. And that's why I think they like him so much.
I would agree. I think that he proved himself to them on special teams. I think he'll be an excellent tackler. And I agree with Greg. I think it will be kind of in the Marcus Allen mode a little bit.
Franklin does say his testing numbers might surprise you, so I'm interested to see that, too. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football with Ross Tucker and Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. These are Ross Tucker's position group rankings for Penn State. We've gotten 12 through 9. Number 9, we're just talking about the safeties. We're going to move up a couple layers in the Penn State defense and look at the defensive tackles, and really we're at 12 through 8 here now, Ross. 5 position groups, and 3 of them are right up the center of Penn State's defense, which is the essence of a lot of questions people have about Penn State this year.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be concerned, right? Now we're getting to the point where there are known commodities at defensive tackle, but there's not the depth that you'd look for, and even known commodities, there's still a little question there, right? So I feel pretty good about Robert Windsor and Kevin Givens, but I don't think you want either one of those guys to be playing every snap. They like to rotate those guys in. I think they'll both be fine players. They've been fine players, but it's whether or not some of the young guys they've brought in, the redshirt freshmen, those type of guys, are ready to rock and roll. This is when I'll lean on Greg. Greg, what have you heard about the young guys that we've never seen play?
Right.
Is there a guy or two? Is it Bold? Is it Hansard?
Penn State wants it to be those guys. I'm just not sure they know enough yet to make one of them. And Dustin, I think you might agree with this. I think that if there's going to be a guy that plays a pretty good number of rotation snaps, my pick would be P.J. Mustipher at this point. I think that he comes in and he plays immediately. Hansard and Bowles are both huge. We just haven't heard a ton about them. But you make a good point, Ross. That spring practice you can lose things in the weeds in spring practice. Everyone was worried about Tommy Stevens. Now everybody is looking at the safety battle and saying, oh, well, Garrett Taylor and Nick Scott, that's not what we were expecting. And there's all these little things that sort of go unsaid. So I think that those guys are probably producing well, and they have to be a part of the rotation. But to me, it's Mustipher. It's the guy I'm most interested in as a junior arrival.
Wow. That would not speak well to Hansard and Bolds and Shelton and some of those guys if he comes
right
in. Yeah,
well, Shelton should get to – we've heard good things about him as well this spring. So, I mean, I think he's in that mix too, but I just think Mustipher's the kind of player that can play from day one.
I mean,
you love Mustipher. We did our rankings.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he's very good.
It's really hard to find a guy who's built to really make the grade right now, which he looks like a legit 6'4", 290, but an athletic broad frame on him, which is different. I love the way he uses his hands, the fact that he's a champion wrestler. Getting there in June at a position that you traditionally don't get on the field early kind of works against him. I would say Fred Hansard has a chance to be really good. Corey Bowles has a chance to be good. P.J. Mustipher has a chance to be great, and I think he can realize his potential a little earlier than a lot of defensive tackles.
Mustipher, I think, will end up being in like a Itor Gross-Matos thing where it's like he's too good to not get him in the rotation, give him some snaps. And if he starts to do well, then he starts to get more and more and more.
He can surprise you. Gross-Matos was a surprise last year.
Yeah.
And now I think most of
not to
same.
Go too far off track, but one thing I'd say at some point Penn State has to get these guys on the field that are true freshmen that can play. I'm sorry, but they pick a freshman All-American team every year, and there's always two defensive tackles on it. Penn State is recruiting at a high enough level now that it can't, it cannot always be, at least in my opinion, it can't always be, well, he plays this position, so he's, you know, we can't expect that much from him. I think with Mustipher, he's a guy that has all the tools to come in and make an impact right away. So we'll see.
It's a position of need, and he's a guy that, the way he looks, he might not be there for 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So you might as well use him for three or four when you have him, and they need it.
Yeah.
100%. I agree with that. Let's look at number seven here, running backs. And, you know, the national storyline is that you lose Saquon Barkley and, oh, what are you going to do? I'm not as concerned, and you can speak to this, about going from Saquon Barkley to Miles Sanders as I am what is behind Miles Sanders.
Totally agree. I mean, right now, I guess they're just putting it all on Ricky Slade. I mean, you know, the Mark Allen kid's still there, but it seems to me like in their mind, they've already decided, Greg, that Ricky Slade will be the backup. You think that's fair?
Yeah. I mean, it's unless Journey Brown shoots way up there, and I think the
problem, that's a good point. I forgot about Journey Brown.
The problem I have there, though, is that will he ever be able to match the speed with the actual football ability? That's the question at this point to me. How far along is he in his development? Is he a guy that can come in and know how to block and know how to read things and be good to go for 10, 15 snaps, or is he not quite there yet? That's what I'm curious about. Mark Allen and Jonathan Thomas are two of the best kids on the team. I mean, they're guys that have been around and played their part and done their role. I just don't know if either one of them can do anything more than that.
Right.
And this is a position group where, unlike last year, it was all Saquon Barkley. Franklin says he wants to mix and match, and we talked about it a little early in the week, Greg. With who?
With what?
How?
Yeah.
With what? Right. I'm not sure. This could be the position that maybe gives the most whenever Tommy Stevens gets on the field. This could be the position where you pull your running back, you bring Tommy Stevens on the field. You might see that more often. We know
that
we're going
to be tight end too.
It could be tight end too, which you could use that as a concern. You know, tight end or running back. The point being, Tommy Stevens is going to get on the field, I think, a lot more often. At whose expense? And if somebody doesn't really emerge as another good option for Miles Sanders, maybe when Miles Sanders needs a breather, you just change the look of the offense.
I'm also really curious to see how good Miles Sanders really is. And,
yeah.
You know, when he gets a lot of touches, you know, I think the natural inclination will be he'll be kind of a letdown after Saquon Barkley, and any human being on earth currently
sure.
would be.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Can he still be a really good, productive player? I think there's a very good chance of that. And we'll see how much they rotate some of these other guys in. I don't know. I mean, Slade is a small dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. He'll be an interesting fit as a true freshman.
Miles Sanders will probably have the benefit of better offensive line. He's also, I would say, a better receiver than he probably gets credit for. We just haven't had a chance to see it just yet. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to stick with some Penn State football. Ross's keys, priorities, things he wants to see at the Blue-White game this weekend. That segment is sponsored by GoPSURV.com. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.